Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text number 10, chapter titled The Most Confidential Knowledge. Mayadakshena prakriti.
Mayadakshena prakriti.
Mayadakshena prakriti.
Mayadakshena prakriti.
Suyate sacharacharam.
Suyate sacharacharam.
Suyate sacharacharam.
Suyate sacharacharam.
Hetunatunena kunteya.
Hetunatunena kunteya.
Hetunatunena kunteya.
Hetunatunena kunteya.
Jagat vipari vartate.
Jagat vipari vartate.
Jagat vipari vartate.
Jagat vipari vartate.
Translation. This material nature, which is one of my energies, is working under my direction. O son of Kunti, being produced by all moving and non-moving, producing all moving and non-moving beings. Under its rule, this manifestation is created and annihilated again and again. So everyone can repeat. This material nature,
this material nature,
is one of my energies.
Is one of my energies.
It is working under my direction.
It is working under my direction.
O son of Kunti.
O son of Kunti.
Producing all moving and non-moving beings.
Producing all moving and non-moving beings.
Under its rule.
Under its rule.
This manifestation. Is created. And annihilated.
And annihilated.
Again and again.
Again and again.
Purport. It is clearly stated here that the Supreme Lord, aloof from all activities of this material world, remains the Supreme Director. The Supreme Lord is the Supreme Will and the background of this material manifestation. But the management is conducted by the material nature. Krishna also states in the Bhagavad Gita that of all living entities, in the different forms and species, I am the Father. Krishna gives these seeds to the womb of the mother. The father gives the seeds to the womb of the mother for the child. Similarly, the Supreme Lord, by his mere glance, injects all living entities into the womb of material nature. They come out in their different forms and species according to their last desires and activities. All these living entities, although born under the glance of the Supreme Lord, take their different bodies according to their past deeds and desires. So Lord is not directly attached to this material creation. He simply glances over material nature. Material nature is thus activated, and everything is created immediately. Because he glances over material nature, there's undoubtedly activity on the part of the Supreme Lord, but he has nothing to do with the manifestation of the material world directly. This example is given in Smriti. When there is a fragrant flower before someone, the fragrance is touched by the smelling power of the person, yet the smelling and the flower are detached from another. There is a similar connection between the material world and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Actually, he has nothing to do with this material world, but he creates by his glances and ordains. Similarly, this material nature, without the superintendence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, cannot do anything. Just ignore that. Yet the Supreme Personality of Godhead is detached from all material activities. Does anybody know who is the personification of material nature?
Who is
the personification of material nature?
Trick question.
Yeah. Is that a trick question? Yeah.
It's Durga Devi. So Krishna is referring to Durga Devi. She is actually Durga, is actually working under Krishna's direction. Viparatate. This is automatically working under my guidance. Maya adakshena prakriti. Maya means my energy. Adakshena. Adya is the eyes. Krishna is just simply by his glancing upon Durga, she's automatically working out of her own devotion for the Supreme Lord. So all living entities are under the spell of Maya, and they're in this material world, which is ordained and controlled by Goddess Durga. She's the goddess who has her trident. She's poking the living entities with the threefold miseries: Adi Atma Kaklesh, miseries caused by the mind and body; Adi Bodha Klesh, miseries caused by other living entities; and Adi Devaka Klesh, miseries caused by the demigods in the form of storms, bad weather, it's too hot, too cold. And so Durga Devi, she is directly working under the superintendence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Krishna is so potent that simply by his desire or will, all the demigods are carrying out his desires. He does not even have to tell them, hey, you're going to be fired if you don't do a good job. Just simply by his desire, all the demigods are working under his direction. But then Krishna says in the next verse, avajananti mam mudha. But those who are mudhas, those who are fools, manushyam tanam ashrita, they cannot understand how I have this human-like form. Param bhavam ajananto mama bhuta maheshram. And that I am the Lord of this mama bhuta maheshram. I am actually the controller of the entire cosmic manifestation. And I'm seated transcendental. This verse, Maya Dakshina Prakriti, is a summary of the verses that Krishna spoke previously in this ninth chapter. And he explains in the ninth chapter how he's completely detached from material creation. And everything is Prakritim Shvam Avashtabhya. It's completely acting simply by his desires. And so those who are fools are mudhas. They're described as Mogasya Moga Karmano, Moga Jnana Vichetasaha, Rakshasim Asuram Chayava, Prakriti Mohinam Shritaha. Thus deluded by this material energy, their hopes for knowledge, their hopes for karma, good fruit of activity, and their hopes for mukti or liberation are all defeated. We find we live in this very advanced society, or so-called advanced society, and our morality is that we think that the more we become free from following the four principles of regulation that are found in the Vedic culture, we think that we're advancing. In the Western society, the more someone can have sex freely, the more someone can eat whatever they can freely, the more they can engage intoxication freely, this is considered advancement. You're considered to be suppressing yourself if you're not not engaging your activities in such a way. But this advancement, we find that although we have so-called much advancement, people are living shorter lifespans. Their bodies are less strong, less fertile. You find that the people in the past had very healthy, strong bodies, and we're considering we're making advancement. But yet our bodies are becoming weaker. Our lifespan is becoming shorter. Our memory is becoming shorter. Our attention span is becoming shorter. And so Krishna explains that those who are atheistic, that who maintain such mentality, their hopes are all lost. And then he goes to explain the Mahatmanas. Mahatmanas tu mam partha daivim prakritim ashritaha bhajante anya manaso gatva buddhim avyayam. That those who are the great souls, they take shelter of the Supreme Lord. Mahatmanas. This word Mahatma is referring to someone who is actually taking shelter of the Lord. It is not someone who is a great political figure. It is not someone who is a great charitable figure. It is someone who is taking shelter of the Lord. Mahatmanas tu mam partha daivim prakritim shritaha. He is taking shelter of this daivim prakritim, this divine material nature, the divine nature of the Supreme Lord. And what does he do? Satatam kritayanto mam. He is always chanting the glories of the Lord. Krishna explains that the Mahatma, the how do you find a Mahatma? He's always chanting the glories of the Lord. Krishna says, Naham tishte Vaikunthe. I am not in Vaikuntha, nor am I in the hearts of the yogis, nor am I in the holy places. If you want to find me, I am in the hearts of those who are always chanting my glories. This is from the Padma Purana. So satatam kritayanto mam yatantascha drida vrataha. That's why we're engaging in this chanting process. Kritayanto mam. That is satatam. One should chant, constantly chant the holy names of God. This is the yuga dharma. This is the prescribed method of self-realization given in the Vedas. Satya yuga, you have the ashtanga yoga process. Then you have in the treta yuga, you have the immense yagyas that you perform, the Ashvamedha yagya, big yagyas that take hundreds of pounds of gold. Who's willing to sacrifice? Who has 100 pounds of gold nowadays? Anybody. You're rich if you have 1 pound. So no one has hundreds of pounds. So in the Dwarpa Yuga, then there is the deity worship where there's 56 offerings every single day. So Krishna has kindly come as his bhakta avatar, his own incarnation as his own devotee, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And this incarnation, he gives what is the Yuga Dharma, chanting the holy names of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So Krishna explains earlier in the same chapter that this process, it is susukam kartam avayam. It is very blissfully performed. That it's not a very difficult process. Simply chanting, dancing, and feasting. Honoring the Lord's prasada. Prasade sarvadukanam hanir asyo pajayate prasana chetasyo hyaso budhir vyatishtatate. That one who gets the prasad, the mercy of the Lord, his material miseries cease to exist. And his intelligence becomes well established. Krishna explains this in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. So this is a very simple process. Anybody can chant the holy name of Krishna. We encourage everyone to chant the holy name very sincerely, enthusiastically, very loudly. Everyone can honor prasadam. Is anybody who can't honor prasadam? Everyone can take some prasadam. And if you can dance also, we should also engage in the dancing process. Chanting, dancing, and feasting. These are the cultural activities of the Vedic culture. This is actually the sara, the essence of Vedic culture. We find that although we're so-called advanced, the youth are becoming more and more degraded. That in the Western society, where is the families that take care of their elderly? It's not considered at all important. Yet they're trying very hard to figure out what is the problem. But they've taken out what is the essential goal, essential medicine to cure out all these imperfections, and that is to engage in loving service to God. When one engages in loving service to God, that bhakti culture creates an all auspicious society. Without the bhakti culture, there is no auspiciousness. Even if one seems to be a gentleman, he seems very educated, if he is not engaged in bhakti, he is simply working for his own desires. And thus, his altruistic and philanthropic work will not benefit anyone. So I thank you very much. If you have any questions or comments, please state them now or otherwise. I have one story. For example, there was one child psychologist. His name was Dr. Spock. Very interesting name. And because in the West there is no actual culture, it's basically experimentation as far as family values and how to raise a family. It's all experimentation. There's no culture that is passing down certain knowledge. And so Dr. Spock said, you shouldn't discipline your child, you shouldn't yell at your child, you should just let them do whatever they do. And so one gentleman His mother was very fond of this Dr. Spock. And so he grew up in that environment. And then later on, he became a juvenile delinquent, and then a thief. And then he got into heavy crimes, and then he was engaged in murdering people in crime. And so this man was sentenced to death. It was in America. He was sentenced to death. And he said, I just have one wish. I want to tell my mother something in her ear, very secretly, just softly. So they brought his mother. Mother came. He said, come here. He had him all. And he bit her ear. And they took him, they chained him up. And before they sentenced him to death, he said, it was her fault. Because she brought me up this way. I had no discipline. It was her fault that I developed all these bad qualities. So because we don't have any culture in the West, our society becomes more and more degraded. But if one adopts this bhakti culture, specifically chanting, dancing, and feasting, this is very easy methods to make the Supreme Lord very happy. And if one satisfies the Supreme Lord, if one waters the root of the tree, all the leaves become satisfied. So if one serves Krishna with love, his heart becomes satisfied, and a satisfied heart produces saintly behavior. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.